The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining me on Three-Dimensional Wealth. I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf. And I'm here today with Bill Wallace, and we're starting the Legacy Series. And I've been able to find a number of the financial service industry's legends, and Bill is one of them. And let me tell you why. Bill is was a great life insurance agency man, but he went on from there to become the chairman and CEO of Home Life, and he played a big part in the merger of Home Life and Phoenix Mutual. And then to create the actual Phoenix Home Life Mutual Insurance Company. In addition, he's the former chairman of the American College in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, and I believe he still serves on the college's board of trustees as well as on the Endowment Foundation board of directors. And he and his wife, Sally, have established the Wallace Chair in Philanthropy at the college back in 1999, and the mission of the Wallace Chair is to advance learning and professionalism and philanthropy through the college's educational programs. So the things that Bill and his wife are doing tie right into what we're doing at Three Dimensional Wealth. And so we're glad to have you with us today, Bill.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you, Roy.
You've had a fabulous career and have become the legend. But I'd like to start back from the beginning and maybe talk about your, quote, humble background and your humble beginnings and how you began your career. I think it'd be interesting.
Well, Roy, I began my career really right out of college. I, as you say, I did come from a humble background, a hard-working background, and neither of my parents were able to go to college. And that was something they wanted the three of us to do, and through football, I was able to get a scholarship and go to Columbia. While at Columbia my senior year, I took a number of interviews with, I knew I was interested in business. I interviewed many corporations and was fortunate being offered a number of jobs. Although I was slated to enter the Navy officer candidate program, 4 months after graduating, I decided it would be better to get situated with some company before. I chose a Home Life. I had been referred to them by a friend in Washington, D.C., who had played professional baseball and was very successful in the insurance business, Bill Werber.
Mm-hmm.
Bill had referred me to Home Life, and I was very impressed. I wasn't interested initially in the insurance business, but the more I heard about the opportunity, the more interested I became, and I really in fact, June of my senior year, the New York Times ran a magazine article in their magazine section, cover article, called The Terribly Normal Class of 52. And I was one of those selected to be interviewed, and they asked me, well, why was I going in the insurance business? And I said, because it was an opportunity that was limited only by my own ability and efforts, and it was also an opportunity where I felt like I was doing something for somebody, and I wouldn't get caught up in a corporate world, which I later did.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah. But that's really how I got into it. Because I was going right in the Navy, they decided it was not going to be wise for me to start in the field and selling, which is what I wanted to do. But I worked in the home office and then went in the Navy in the fall of 52 to OCS in Newport. And while in the Navy, in preparation for coming in the insurance business, when I got out, I started my CLU studies. And that was helpful. Also got married, and that was motivating. But I started in sales in 1956 in Washington, D.C.
So now that's some 50 years later.
That's right, 50 years ago. It's hard to believe.
Seems like the other day.
And well, it's time, a lot's going over the dam, though, in that period of time. But I started in sales, and very quickly was encouraged to pursue management, which I did. I'd made the $1 million round table and, got into management and then was invited very quickly to come back to New York in the management training program. And, I did that in August of 1958. In that program, I became a regional vice president and, eventually said I have to leave because even though they told me I'd been the youngest officer appointed, I couldn't earn any money in the home office and the salaries, even in those days particularly.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked to take the Washington agency when my predecessor there had retired, and I went back as general agent and spent 22 years from 66 to 88 as a general agent in Washington, and really felt that was a job that I was cut out to do and enjoyed it very much and had a great relationship with people in the business like your father. I recall you came as a college student and talked to our agency and was very motivating. 35 years ago, and they were excited about what you were doing while as a college student. And I've been proud to watch you and your development since.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, and I look back and I think of men like yourself and my dad who, you know, pumped his life into me, and he was making investments in me, hoping that some dividends would come out on the other side, and hopefully I did better
they
than
are.
the rate of return on his portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he certainly has had a good rate of return on his investment in you.
Let me go back to in the early. Is there something that your parents or your grandparents or a significant other, like with my dad, that made a difference in your success and becoming a success?
Well, I mentioned, first of all, I had a wonderful set of parents, and they were hardworking, honest people. They lacked any formal education, but they taught me some things that I think helped me a great deal. They convinced me that I could do about anything I wanted to do. And, I developed some confidence that if you worked hard, you could achieve. My mother once gave me a book, Gentlemen Aren't Sissies, and, she was, awfully concerned that I know how to conduct myself in any company, and including company I had not been in before. Growing up, the importance of, church and family and hard work were constantly exhibited by my family and passed on the three of us. And as I say, it was a humble, hardworking background. I was very fortunate in people helping me. This Bill Werber had met me when I was in high school, and here he was very successful. As I say, played professional baseball and played on a world championship team. He has written three books.
He played with the Yankees? Oh, no.
No, he didn't play with the Yankees. He won the world championship with Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
But he was quite a guy and a heck of a competitor, and he had taken me to Duke as a high school senior to try and recruit me to play football at Duke and assured Wallace Wade, their coach, that I would be there in the fall, and I disappointed him by deciding to go to Columbia. And he wasn't a man to take it easy. He was not too pleased with that. But in spite of that, he sent a letter to Sigma Chi Columbia and recommended me for the fraternity. And as I say, he later helped me. I became a member of Sigma Chi. Later, he was influential in my going with home life. As an agent, he helped me on some cases. He was in business in Washington. So he really, I benefited from people like that who have helped me, quite a bit. And I took advantage in the industry to get involved with people like your father in study groups. And I really found some outstandingly successful people who were willing to share. And, you could bounce things off of them, and it helped convince me that I could do what they could do, and that was very helpful.
You know, one of the things that we're trying to do with our clients is help them pass on not just their valuables, their money, but how to pass on their values.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk a little later about, you know, personal wealth, but that's one of the things that we've done is put together and help families draft manuscripts of how to pass on, you know, their values. And I'm just thinking from your background, is there a story in particular that you can share about your family or someone in there that, that would have made a difference or you'd like to capture and preserve right now?
Roey, someone, you know, I think that we've been married 50 years, so I think marrying the right woman can make one heck of a difference in your life, and it certainly made mine. She had to take a lot of risk with me and make change with me and raise five children, and she was always a good balancing factor in my life and even business issues sometimes. And so I give her a lot of credit. I also, as I say, my parents, if you'd, I talked about Bill Werber, I have a brother who we challenged each other. I have a younger brother who was also ambitious, and so the question was how was he going to go to college. And I guess I haven't mentioned Lou Little, who was a great football coach at Columbia, and really helped us a great deal. He, when I told him I had a brother who was playing football, but he wasn't a star. Lou Little found the means for him to come to Columbia. He was a good student. Bob was interested in becoming a doctor. Lou Little found the money for him to go to medical school. Bob later went on to become chief of surgery at the Mayo Clinic and then chief at Georgetown. Outstanding in his field as a cardiac surgeon. And as I saw my younger brother coming along and doing these things, we both say we motivate each other.
That's a terrific story. And I know we're going to talk about it later, about how you're giving back, because part of the other thing in three-dimensional wealth is, you know, it's your personal wealth, your financial wealth,
yes,
and your social wealth, how to make a difference.
Yes, I know. I think it's great. It all goes together.
The industry, though, let's just talk about the industry before we start talking about those three dimensions. But in the past 50 years ago, from 50 years, I mean, how has it changed? What are you seeing that's different today, or the same principles hold true as they did 50 years ago?
Well, Roey, the products that we sell in the financial service industry, there's so much difference. And the influence of investment products as well as protection products has changed it. Also, laws have become more complex, making compliance a big issue. It seems to be less personal, less trusting. Maybe that's the impact of lawyers, but I think that the industry is quite different than when I started out.
Okay, well, we're going to pick that up. We're going to take a short break, but stay tuned for more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help.
Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Bill Wallace. He's the former CEO of Home Life and former chairman of the American College. And he's part of our Legend series, and so he truly is a legend in the financial service business. And just before the break, Bill, we were talking about over the past 50 years of your career, what's been changing. And you said, I think what's changing is becoming less personal, and that there's been more compliance, more legal issues, obviously products changing tremendously. And maybe the question I have for you, and maybe it's a loaded question, but, you know, we're doing in our three-dimensional wealth practice here is trying to look at the totality of someone's wealth, not just their financial, but their personal, financial, and social. And the question I would ask is it possible in these days where there's, you know, less personal attention maybe, to become what I call a total wealth manager? I'd like your perspective.
Well, I think so, Roe, because I think people like you are doing it, and I think that as people achieve some type of financial wealth, they have to be concerned with some other issues. If they're not, they're foolish, or I really think that getting their attention to those issues opens up a lot of doors. It was really at the time we retired that we realized that we had more financial wealth than we had anticipated ever having, and that we should, we could never enjoy it unless we sat down and put some balance in our life. More balance. We thought we had some, but more balance.
Well, one of the things that, again, we're doing on the sort of the personal wealth side, maybe you'll, I'm going to ask you about some of the values that are important to you, but we've spent some time, and one of the families that we've dealt with and worked through is actually the Diefendorf family.
Yes.
And we have for to pass on, and, you know, we wanted to have a methodology where we could, a tangible way to capture, preserve, and perpetuate the values that my mom and dad, you know, thought were important. And so it's interesting. I just want to read for you, Bill, the back of our family's manuscript here. And this is by my dad. And he says, the years have gone by quickly. I know you can attest to that. The years have gone by quickly. Much has been accomplished in my life with Evelyn. And hopefully much more is yet to be accomplished. But what would our lives have meant if they were so quickly forgotten without passing on the lessons we have learned? Your forefathers sacrificed greatly to make this land a better place for you and me. And in this, we've had about 14 direct descendants in the American Revolution. And so they talk about that.
I know.
He says, I hope that we have contributed in a similar fashion for our family, friends, and colleagues. He says, so as my time on earth draws to a close, I'm glad that we have the opportunity to purposefully put together the tapestry of our lives in this book for those who follow. We pray that our beliefs and thoughts will help you lead more productive lives and will bring you a rich and rewarding life filled with unlimited happiness. Success and happiness in this life will only come as you give yourself away to others. Remember, it is not how much you are loved, but how much you have loved others. Monroe D. Diefendorf. So that's what Dad writes about it.
No, he sent me a copy of that book, and Sally and I were very impressed with it. And it's a great idea, and I think that it's something we all should do, and some do it in different ways. Some do it with the tape recorder. Some do it with the video recorder. I guess I've been conscious over the years of collecting in some kind of order letters and photographs mm-hmm. and writings and material like that I thought would be of interest to someone after we had gone. But I was very impressed with the book that was done with the legacy your parents have left for you.
Well, one of the things we try to do is make sure that we do while they're still around and they can communicate it.
Yes.
And share with it. And so when we have times together with our family, in fact, our organization here is doing family retreats and trying to get families involved and talk about their mission statement and their philanthropic mission statement. We'll talk a little about that. But let me go back to the Wallaces. Values that are important to you. Anything that comes to mind that you would want to share and say to anyone listening in this audience, worldwide, that say these are values that are important to the Wallaces that maybe you should pay attention to.
Well, I could think of a whole lot. I from a personal standpoint, I think your health, taking care of yourself, is critically important because it's hard for you to be of service to anybody else. If you cannot function, and so I think your health is one. I think your integrity is critical. I also think that it's awfully important for people to have self-control. We see too much of people flying off and later being sorry for their actions. I could go on. I made reference before. I think it's awfully important, and we see less of a day of people being gentlemen and ladies and having some manners. I think it's fun to enjoy life, too. I think that requires some discipline too in your life. I think you've got to respect yourself. I think if you do some of these things, you will have self-respect. But these are things that have nothing to do with your wealth, your financial wealth.
I was jotting these down as you were speaking, and I said, so far I haven't heard anything that says I want to get an extra 20 basis points on the rate of return of my assets.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, and I think they're critical because unless you have those, you can't enjoy your – you might be able to acquire, but not in a way you would be proud, perhaps, or you certainly couldn't enjoy your wealth. At least I think that people who lack some of these things don't really enjoy whatever wealth they have. That's a personal opinion.
What about you personally? Is there something that you would say your best accomplishment personally that you can come to mind?
Well, I think that's easy. We had an opportunity to dwell on that a little bit last year. I think that the best accomplishment is 50 years of a marriage, a family of five. We celebrated by taking the whole family down to Disney World for 3 days and then on a Disney cruise for 4 days. And so 16 of us had a wonderful time. And then despite our wishes that they not do it, they had a nice party for some of our old friends on our 50th. And I know I couldn't make it when you had one for your dad some years ago, but your folks are certainly dear friends. And I'm sure they would say their marriage and their family and what it's resulted in has been their biggest achievement. And I think that's it. Everything else we do for that. So
it's interesting. In the manuscript that they've put together, and they have like 21 of life's lessons, and one of them is life's lessons number 9. It's be kind to your spouse for a lasting marriage. And then my mom writes a little story, and then my dad writes one, but here's just a tie into what you said. My dad said, here's some principles for maintaining a healthy marriage, and this is 50 years. He said, have the same values. Mm-hmm. Number 2, he says, have a strong religious belief. He said, attend and participate in church activities together. Number 3, agree over major issues. 4, have a tendency to like the same kinds of people. He says, 5, develop mutually exclusive interests and hobbies. Have an independent life. He said, 6, have and pursue mutual interests. Travel, golf, tennis, bridge, how to raise your children, etc. Number 7, interesting one, he says, don't squabble over money issues. Don't spend money when you don't have it. And number 8, he says, be completely faithful to each other. And so there's 50 years that goes along, and I think that's one of his proudest accomplishments as well. Yeah. I'd like to think that his kids are on that list. But when we get to 60, he always says, well, when you get to 60, I'll let you know how you may have turned out. That's a few years to go.
You know, there are other things that I take some satisfaction, pride in the fact that in addition to any success out in the industry, I was of some service to the industry. I felt of an obligation to get involved. I always benefited from my involvement, so selfishly I made out, but I take great pride in having been involved in a number of industry organizations, again, like your father, and I benefited from them. The merger of the Home Life and the Phoenix was something that had never been done, and two mutual companies that size, and it was quite different, and it was, there were a lot of obstacles, and a lot of people didn't think it could be done and done successfully, and certainly from a merger standpoint, it worked out beautifully at the time. One other achievement that I authored a book years ago called Doing Better.
I have a copy.
And that book, and in the front of that book, there's a fair amount about my background and so forth, but I had a philosophy that the way to be successful as a producer or as a general agent or even as a company was quite simple. You did the best you could, kept good records, paid attention to your records, and they would almost tell you what you had to do differently to be better. And when you looked at how little you had done in the previous period, you could just say, well, if I just do a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that, we're going to do better. So I was constantly encouraging people to maintain good records, set goals that represented an increase in the activity or activities that would lead to success.
So little by little, doing better, you become a legacy.
Guarantees it.
All right. Bill, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more Three Dimensional Wealth.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three-Dimensional Wealth, Roy Diefendorf.
I'm here with Bill Wallace, and we're discussing how to become a legacy. Of which Bill is, and he said just before the break, he said it's doing better, little by little, and he said you'll become a legacy. And so he's part of the Legacy Series, and we're glad to have you back with us, Bill.
Thank you, Roy.
I'd like to flip, change gears a little bit and flip over to social wealth. And by social wealth, what we mean is, you know, how to make a difference in somebody else's life, doing something for others. And I know that this is a big part of the Wallace whole family. Tell us how it's become a part of your life, how it started, and where it's led to, if you would.
Well, okay, I'll quickly try and cover that. Some years ago, while I was the CEO, I attended the Aspen Institute along with my wife, Sally. And it was 3 days of discussions, which had been preceded by several months of readings of philosophers and from the Bible and different things. And we went out there and talked about a number of subjects, and philanthropy was one. And one thing that we decided as a group, so many business leaders, to them, philanthropy is having their name down as the honorary chairman of the Boy Scouts of America drive or the Goodwill industry or the Red Cross, and they don't get personally involved. They lend their name and their resources, their company resources or whatever, to an effort. And we had several, we had two people there on scholarships at the Aspen Institute, and one of them was a Catholic priest from New York who had become very involved and very concerned about the problems of juvenile delinquency in New York, and they discovered that the leaders of the juvenile gangs had very high IQ. So to make a long story short, he decided to take them, pluck them out of school, start a private school for these smart people who were headed for trouble, and he's done a brilliant job of producing some leaders. And it's grown, and it's called De La Salle Academy. That, and about the same time, we had watched on 60 Minutes a show from Mississippi, a woman, a doctor, who had been a, she was also in the church, but she went down to Cutwater, Mississippi, and started a clinic. And the difference she was making in lives. And we decided that we should look for individuals and help individuals who were doing things in charity. So that was one thing that was important.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we decided, when we retired, we were doing some estate planning and taking a look. We decided that we really had to, our children were going to be all right with our estate the way it was. We never intended for them to be wealthy, but they would certainly benefit time our deaths from, but we left them. But we could not enjoy our retirement unless we did an equal amount for others. And we told the children, we had a meeting with them. And that's when we decided to set up a family donor advised fund. And as a Christmas gift each year, give them the right to make gifts during the coming year from that fund to charities that they were interested in. Sometimes our grandchildren participate in family decisions as to what charities will get gifts. That's led to our daughter establishing with her 12-year-old twin grandsons a nonprofit foundation to help children, needy children in the Washington area who don't have sports equipment to get sports equipment so they can participate in different activities. But that's been a wonderful experience. As a matter of fact, we did this through World Vision, a Christian organization that's worldwide, and we've had such a wonderful relationship with them, and we gave my mother the right, told her it was her birthday that we had set this up. We were on our way home. We stopped by and see her, and she was alive then. We told her about it and told her that for a birthday gift, she could make gifts from this fund while she were alive. Well, she cried because she had supported a child, and I don't know how, because it was not easy for her. She had been sending money to World Vision for 20 years. So that was very satisfying. And that satisfaction that came out of that experience and our children's reaction helped us decide that maybe we could have a bigger impact if we could help better train, educate people who are in a position to influence philanthropy as advisors. And because I had been involved with the American College, and it had been my experience in all the fundraising efforts I'd been involved in, or when I was approached by somebody, they'd come to you. Some of them could tell you how to give, and they had all the legal things down on, but had no idea the passion or the joy of giving.
Mm.
And then you would get those people who were absolutely carried away with why you should give and the joy of giving, but they had no concept of how best to do it. And I said, we really should have some kind of certification or standards where people could get the designation of chartered advisor in philanthropy, but it really is taking a financial advisor and helping him understand both the legal part and the joy of giving. And we thought our gift to the American College to endow that chair would be a legacy that we would leave and our children would take pride in, and it's certainly been the case.
That's terrific. I'll tell you, there's two things I'll say is that the one thing that you did with the gift of giving, I go back to my dad used to talk about how to build a home court advantage. And he says, you know, why is it that, you know, the football teams or the basketball teams, they win more in their own stadium than they do when they're on the road? He says, the home court advantage. And he said, that's what you really need to do is start to help build home court advantage. And I wrote an article for Personal Excellence magazine last year, and it was talking about how to do that. And one of the things was, you know, involve the entire family. You know, when I look at what you're doing with the, you know, the Wallace Family Philanthropic Fund, I mean, that was what it's all about.
Half an hour ago, I got today's mail. There was a copy of a letter in there to a charity from World Vision saying that the enclosed gift is the result of such and such, one of our children making a gift through the Wallace Philanthropic Fund. Now, we get those letters all the time, and it really is satisfying.
I hope you don't mind, but I want to read a letter from Andrew. And Andrew is your son.
Yes.
And he writes, Dear Mom and Dad, I want to thank you both for the fantastic Christmas gift that allowed me to be a giver on your behalf. I believe that the phrase, the gift of giving, is most true. Deep down, I believe that there's a blessing and a benefit associated to the act of giving, and I feel fortunate that you are sharing that blessing with me. Like you, upon reflection, I feel like one very lucky guy. I have my health, my family, and I suspect that I live better than 90% of the people in the whole world, or maybe in the history of the world. I am making my first gift, this must have been the first year you did this, of $500 to Habitat for Humanity. My commitment to this year is to match your gifts by 10% to each charity I designate. This will give me an added interest and allow me in a small way to add a ripple of the of benefit to the charitable wave you have started. I am proud to be your son and love you both very, very much, Andrew. Phew! I want to tell you.
Can imagine how that letter made us feel.
Oh.
I get goosebumps now. You know?
I do, too.
And he was just here. He came down from Alexandria, Virginia to check on us. He thought we ought to come down for a couple of days. We played golf, and he was supposed to leave this morning, and I don't know whether he got out. He has a place up at Bradenton, and he went up there yesterday, and he was going to try, and he had a plane reservation this morning because of the snowstorm, but he's quite a guy. But when you get those letters from your children, and we had others, and we know we did the right thing.
Yeah, but you see, Bill, now, if I were to look at your financial statement, say,
yeah,
and the money that you gave away, your financial statement is less than when you started this whole process. And, in fact, what your children will inherit will be less financially. And so the question is the Wallace family wealthier after having done this, or are they less wealthy?
I think without exception, they all agree that we're all better off.
Yeah.
All of them seem enthusiastic, and as I say, and thanks to the miracle of life insurance, we're able to make sure that they will have something too.
Mm. And that's the overall plan that you put together. That's what I call synchronizing, you know, your wealth and putting them all together. And how do you use your social wealth, financial wealth, and personal wealth, and wrap them all together to have a real plan. I think that is significant. In fact, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're trying to do is get people to look at the totality of their wealth and say, you know what, we are much wealthier for having done this. You talked about the joy of giving. I think if it's something that we need to help educate and get people started early, get young people started early. When you said, well, I have 12-year-old twin grandsons who are involved.
Yes.
I mean, think about that. By the time they're 12, by the time they're 62 and they've been doing this for 50 years, you know, how powerful that'd be. Sometimes I get clients, they say, well, when I make it, Bill, you say, when I make it, then I'll give it away. You know what happens? They never do. They never have enough. They haven't learned from the beginning. And so what you've given, I mean, you talk about the gift of giving, but what you've given your family in terms of maybe less inheritance but more legacy. And the legacy is what you put together.
And I hope they feel better. We certainly feel better because, as I say, to have ignored the needs that are out there and worried about how much we could leave each child would not be fulfilling at all.
Outstanding. Again, we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back and wrap up our talk today with the legend, Bill Wallace. So stay tuned.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker, The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson talks about the nuts and bolts of starting, running, and expanding a business. From time management, leadership, sales, marketing, and customer service, to office management, using technology, business plans, accounting, taxes, and networking. Danielle and her expert guests share their years of experience on a variety of topics. Tune in every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel for Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson. Useful tips, authoritative advice, creative solutions. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
Our show for today is entitled The Legend Series. And as one of the legends, I have the great Bill Wallace with me. He was the former CEO of Home Life, former chairman of the American College in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, and now retired and a legacy. So we're glad to have you with us, Bill.
Thanks, Roy. Good to be with you.
Good. Now, we've talked about our personal wealth and how to capture and preserve that, and social wealth, the things that the Wallace family are doing. Let's bring in then the financial side. Your career as an advisor, helping advisors come in. For the financial advisors, what advice would you give a rookie today? What advice would you give a veteran today?
Well, I would certainly give him the advice that he ought to associate with winners. That it's so easy to get involved with people who are successful in the business because everyone seems to be very willing to share. But you want to run with the people who are doing the job and they'll raise your sights. Another thing is education. It's absolutely necessary to get the credentials, and all these credentials that can add to your practice. I think it's so important. So many people in business today don't keep the promises they make, even showing up on time to do work. But it's awfully important. I'd advise someone new to just make sure he was living up to what he was talking about. I was taught when I came into business not to look for prospects to sell, but look for problems to solve. Mm-hmm. I had products that could solve those problems, but it was easier to suggest a product after we developed the problem. And I think that that's good advice then, and it's good advice today, to sit down with people and find out what they want, what's bothering them and what they want to do. The advice of doing better, just to set goals, and it's very easy to do better if you keep records and set goals. I think that's basically things I would try and share, and try to share with children, my children, and so forth.
If you had to look back at your career, I mean, what's the best accomplishment that you would put down and say, okay, you know, my business, either it's career or financially, or well, how would you identify that?
Roe, I really, when you say best accomplishment, you know, I think of some letters I got from some widows of clients. I think of individual things. I think of some of the people. I'm going to the Hall of Fame at this year's LAMP, where the incoming inductee is a former assistant manager in my agency. Mm-hmm. Those are satisfactions. I think one of them was I knew I was very happy. I think the best job in the financial service industry is a producer. I think the best job for me was management, field management. I was happy in it. I liked what I did. The home office thing was, after all, I had not been there for 22 years. I did not have background in many aspects of running a life insurance company, so the challenge was really one that I said no to, but some circumstances happened in our company. Things didn't work out, and finally I said I would do it. And
a good thing, too.
Well, it worked out. I think it worked out for our policyholders. When I think of challenges, that was the biggest challenge I ever undertook, and one I guess I have to feel pretty good about, although I'm not happy about some things that have happened since my retirement. But a lot of people say that.
If you had to do it over again, would you do something differently?
No, because Sally and I look at each other and say we're as happy as we can be, and whatever contributed to our getting to this point, we you know, some of it was tough and some of it was, but I don't know what I would do different. I really don't have any regrets.
That's terrific. And that's what makes you a legend. You know, one of the things you talked about, Bill, was, you know, the education. And I just want to make a plug for some of the things that we're doing at Three Dimensional Wealth. And we have courses, and the courses run, Bill, we have some elective courses, Counseling Through Life's Transitions. And we go through, and these are all created by a counselor, PhD. We have conflict mediation. You know, some people fight over money. And we have, you know, marriage, divorce, and family dynamics, okay? Stress and career building, sometimes that can be a problem. Parenting and the empty nest, aging, caregiving, and being in the sandwich generation.
Really aren't.
And then sort of pre- and post-retirement counseling, and not just the financial part of it, but, you know, what are you going to do later on? And then finally, death, dying, and bereavement. And so we've got counseling courses that we think are very important for, you know, financial people that have got all of the financial designations done as a prerequisite but want to take it to the next level and say, how do we get our relationships deeper? And so we've got curriculum, and then we have a designation, so a certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner.
Right,
we're hoping that
very impressed with what you've done.
We're hoping that this will be, you know, I looked at it in my career and I said, the families that I deal with, and I had in my mind, if I could help 60 families through what I call a sort of the process of three-dimensional wealth, understanding that really I would be the most significant advisor in these families' lives. If I could do 60, I go, well, that's okay, but what if I could help another advisor do 60? And what if I could help another advisor do 60? And so now that curriculum is online, on demand, 24/7.
That's wonderful. That's exactly what we had in mind with the chair, because we couldn't multiply the number of people who do it.
Now, finally, I would say that, how would you want to be remembered as a legend?
Oh, I guess that I met my responsibilities, and I helped other people meet theirs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to be remembered, but...
Well, you certainly will be, that's for sure. The legacy you've left is going to have a ripple effect, not only breadth, you know, that stretches out, but depth for generations to come. And of course, the Wallace, you know, Family Philanthropic Fund will do it, and also the chair that you've established at the American College is certainly going to do it, and that'll go on and on and on. And I think it's fantastic.
Well,
any final advice then, Bill, for the public who's listening? We talked a little about for advisors, but the public that are listening, what should they be looking for in an advisor?
Well,
there are a lot of advisors out there today, so sometimes it's hard to, you know, navigate through and pick out, you know, who do they need to...
I think the person that I would be, I'd counsel people not to pick advisors who have one-dimensional answers, who are because this is not a one-dimensional problem issue we're dealing with, and this planning. And the more people sell a single idea or a single product that's wrong. I would want the advisor who had the total, who was in a position to advise me across the board and counsel with me in these, all these areas, because they do impact on each other. That to me would be crucial.
I want to tell you from the advising side, and we think we're doing that, but from the advising side, it certainly is much more rewarding to, rather than just look at a stock portfolio, how much more meaningful can it be when you help a family put together a philanthropic mission statement or a philanthropic plan or a family foundation that the family gets a letter from their son? Oh, I mean, how much more can you have when you talk about, you know, capturing your wisdom and your beliefs and your values and that legacy you're going to pass on? I mean, to us, as, you know, sort of certified three-dimensional wealth practitioners, for us, that's what it's about. And, you know, now, not to say that the other things are not important. I mean, you need to have to understand how to manage financial resources and be a good steward and learn how to protect and preserve the property and insure them properly. And those, but if it's just that one-dimensional aspect, after a while, and if you've been around long enough, you go, is that all there is?
Is that all there is? You're right. You know? And I feel sorry for all the people who don't know that there's so much more.
You know,
that's your job.
And that's exactly how I feel.
And that's what the purpose of this radio program
is. Yeah, well, that's right. Hopefully that we, you know, as people listen in and as we take this, they actually now can download it to an iPod, and we have people downloading every day to their iPod and listen.
Well, that's wonderful.
But let me just say one thing, Bill, in closing, and it's fellas like you, and there's a quote that goes like this. Societies grow great when old men plant trees whose shade they will not sit under. And you have planted trees, and for generations, we're going to appreciate the shade.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you for being a legend. I want to thank those for who've listened. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation. And I invite you to join me next week at the same time for more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
Thank you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.